there is an existential question, or are existential questions with which each and every one of us grapple. Why am I here? What is my purpose? What is important? These are similar and related questions, and an argument can be made that each question is addressing the same issue. We long for connectedness. We want to matter, and we want our lives to matter. At some time in each of our lives, we come face to face with this struggle to make meaning, to find purpose for what might otherwise be experienced as the grindstone of daily existence. The sacred texts that we call scripture open for us the struggle from the beginning of humanity. Our place and our purpose, and the making sense or ordering of that place and purpose, has been something with which we have wrestled always. The readings for today shine a light on the prism of understanding and belief about the ongoing relationship between those seeking meaning for their lives and the one who gives meaning to all life. We've entered the season known as Ordinary Time, or the season following Pentecost. This season is by far the longest season of our church calendar year, and those of us who have been a part of this church for a very long time may be wary of the post-Pentecost doldrums. We are known to hate change, but we actually love predictable change. Green to blue, to white, to purple. We do like the predictable changes of the colors of the seasons, and we like the tractability of time in this liturgical church. And this long green time of being and living into ordinary time may seem to pale in comparison to the energy involved in other seasons of the year. And yet, it is in this ordinary time, this time of being, that we have the opportunity to grapple with those questions that come from our deepest desire to have purpose and to matter and to discern and know what is truly important. The question can ultimately be pared down to, do I matter? And if I actually do matter, what else matters? Our readings for today address the struggle that we and all share of who I am and what matters. In Genesis, our first reading, are our former ancestors, the ones who, by some accounts, set the stage for all who would follow. These forebears had a unique relationship with their Creator, who walked with them in the cool of the garden and interacted with them in what seems like a comfortable manner. Perhaps we could see in this early recollection of the relationship of God with humanity as being an example of what being created in the image of God looks like. But then, the people of God, brought out of the dust by God, decided that they were not dust, nor were they tied to God's boundaries. They decided that they knew better than God. They ventured away from God, following their own wills. And as we know, both from hearing the story and from our own lives in the marrow of our souls, deciding to follow our own will does not place us on the roadmap that God has set for our lives. And even still, in the falling short of Adam and Eve, man and woman, you and me, we find that we still matter. If we are of no importance, this story would not be told. Even in our falling short, even in our determination to take the place of God, to usurp the power of God, we are still those who are created in the image of God, and those who God calls into relationship. Jesus jars his friends and the gathered crowd and the events described in the third chapter of Mark. And that jarring remains for those of us who are listening today. Jesus has been and continues to be teaching and preaching. His following is growing by leaps and bounds. He's like Joel Osteen. This new prophet teacher is swelling the crowds. He's got the Superdome filled beyond capacity. His following is just that big. And as is typical, there are those who want him gone, out of their hair. He's gotten too much attention. He's saying things that unsettle. That makes the white-collar folks very uncomfortable. They can throw in some pretty big barbs. He's of Satan. He's possessed. We know how that goes. Use any tool you can to discredit those who threaten you, especially those tools that are highly emotional and inflammatory. I think we can relate to that on how well these tactics work given the state of our so-called news providers on television these days. We are shocked, as are presumably those who are followers and friends of Jesus, by the events as they are described in this passage today. Jesus has been teaching and preaching and healing. He is continuing to give his very life and soul to try to help people understand who they are and what that means. He tells them time and again about God, how much they matter to God, and what their ongoing relationship is with their Creator. He tells them the kingdom of God has come near. Jesus is trying, deep in his trying, to resolve for those gathered what God has been trying to engage God's people in from the beginning. And it is in this moment, deep in his teaching and in his trying to bring the people into a new place of understanding, that Jesus is interrupted by a knock at the door. He ignores the knock at first, hoping it was an accidental bump, but it was not. The knock grows louder and more persuasive. Finally, the door is open, and persistent and persuasive ones crash into the moment. Your mother and brothers are here to see you, they announce. And to our ears, Jesus' response sounds brash and rude. Who are my mothers and my brothers? He responds. And for centuries, I'm sure, mothers have wanted to right this wrong. And yet, this is important for Jesus and for those of us who seek to know our place in God's created order. Does this passage deny my relevance? Or the relevance of family connections? Or does it perhaps affirm the connectedness of all believers? No matter where we fall in this continuum of understanding about Jesus and his relationship to his family and to us, this passage is probably a bit unsettling. Are we, by nature, as those who claim to follow Christ, designed to be settled or unsettled? That's a topic of great debate by those of faith. Does Jesus or God or the Spirit comfort us or bring us discomfort? I think the answer to that is yes. Who am I? And why am I here? And what is important? God, at least in the words that we believe to be God's Holy Scripture, gives us some comfort in the knowledge that we are His. We are His beloved. And as God's created ones, we are important and valuable, even as we are flawed. We are challenged by the Lord to reconsider our family boundaries outside genealogy. In both Genesis and Mark, the relevance and importance of the people cannot be denied. Our God is not a God that works outside the bounds of humanity, but is very much engaged and involved in the human form in which he chose to dwell. The reading from 2 Corinthians today is one of the optional readings for use in a burial service, and it shines another light on those deep, yearning questions of who we are and what is important for our lives. At the time in which this letter was written, there was deep concern that the good people of Corinth and all others who put their faith in Christ were about to be found to be foolish beyond belief. And foolish at that time has a whole deeper, much more cut to the heart meaning than it even does for us today. Paul reassures by reminding us here that today is not all that there is, that the experience of those who follow Christ is not relegated to this passing moment. Life, as important as it is, your life, as important as it is not just about you. The life you have in Christ is bigger than even your own ego. Imagine that. There are no concrete, easily packaged answers about who we are, why we are here, and what matters. For those of us of faith, there are clear and concrete groundings for all our musings. The certainties are that we are called, we are loved, we are supported, and we are created in the image of God. And that's what gives us purpose. Amen.